joining us on the line right now for the weekly local news roundup is Owen Walsh from the River Reporter. Owen, thank you for joining us again.
Hey, Jason. Thanks for having me.
So last hour we spoke to local resident Kat Scott about the adult care center sale in Sullivan County. It's been the big news of the week. But you have a statement from State Senator Jen Metzger that was just released today. What is she saying about this potential sale?
Yeah, so she released a pretty short, concise statement saying that she is extremely concerned about the impacts that the sale will have on the quality of care for the residents who are at this adult care center. And she kind of echoed a lot of the concerns that residents seem to be expressing, saying, here's part of her quote. She says, "We have seen too many examples of nursing homes cutting costs at the expense of residents once they've been privatized." So, you know, the main part of her concern is about the potential for this care center to be privatized. And she says that she understands the severe fiscal constraints that the county is facing, but she is hoping that, you know, the financial problems won't be prioritized over the residents there. And she also mentioned that, you know, the U.S. House of Representatives has passed a relief package that is supposed to aid with counties throughout the country that are dealing with financial troubles as a result of the coronavirus. So she's hoping that, you know, that will kind of be a little something to lean on rather than maybe privatizing the care center. So that's her position on it.
Okay, and we'll have more on this issue coming up at 7 o'clock on Trailer Talk with Sabrina Artel. She was there covering the protests yesterday and the people that were there to make their comments in opposition. And the other news on this issue, I guess, is the public hearing continues tomorrow because it was extended. That's 3 p.m. at the Government Center, correct?
Yep, that's right, at 3 p.m. And I believe it's supposed to, right now they have scheduled that they will vote after that. But I guess, you know, we'll kind of see because we'll see how many people turn out to speak publicly again.
Yeah, well, they were supposed to vote at 8:30 yesterday morning, and that didn't happen. So we'll definitely see what happens tomorrow afternoon. So another item that you've mentioned here that I had not heard of at all yet is that there's a rumor, and I hate saying rumors on air, but the rumor is the news, a rumor that Honesdale Police Department may be disbanded by 2021. Where did that come from? What's going on with that?
Yeah, so it's definitely an important rumor to look into when you look at it. So it came from a resident who made a Facebook status and basically wrote what you just said, that the police will be, he used the word defunded, but it seemed to, he seemed to mean the phrase disbanded because he was saying that there won't be police by 2021. So he said the Honesdale Borough Police, you know, won't be here anymore, and the status got shared over close to 1,000 times. So, you know, residents are very historically very concerned about the Honesdale Police. So kind of to get to the bottom of why this status was written and why it's not actually accurate. So the Honesdale Borough Police, their contract is up with the borough, so it's currently being renegotiated. And this happens, you know, every 4 years or so that the contract just needs to be renegotiated. They kind of work out the nuts and bolts of it. So that's going on right now. And then the other piece is that the Honesdale Borough Police has a very small staff. So they only employ 4 full-time officers. One of those officers is off duty indefinitely because of an injury. So really 3 full-time officers. So with a staff that small, the police is only able to cover 2 of their 3 shifts. So usually during the nighttime shifts, like during the midnight hours, police actually don't have anyone from their department on duty. And during those hours, they have the state police covering Honesdale Borough just as part of their regular coverage area. So it's been a conversation for a long time among the Honesdale Borough councilors, whether you know, they should just keep this system of having a small staff and not always being on duty. Some counselors have historically felt that they should put the money in to hire more officers to have a full-time staff of 9 officers like they used to. while others say that they should just, you know, disband the department completely and just have state police covering all 24 hours of the day. So while these negotiations were going on, one of the Honesdale Borough councilors sent an email to a lawyer who is, you know, representing Honesdale's contract negotiations. And in this email, he requested that they, if they can't, you know, find the money to have a full-time staff, that the coverage should just be turned over to the state police completely. And somehow this email kind of got leaked to the public. We're still not really sure how the public, you know, got its eyes on this email, or at least how the resident who wrote the Facebook status saw the content of the email. But basically, the people saw this email and took it to mean that Honesdale Borough has decided to disband the police department, but it really isn't the case. The contract negotiations are going on. No decisions have been made, and this was really just one counselor kind of expressing his opinion of what he thinks should happen, but it's not a decision or it's not any action on the part of the borough yet.
I know that this was an issue that even we here at WJFF were asking of candidates running for county commissioner in last year's election. This was just this issue of the nature of policing in Honesdale, just in terms of everything that you just laid out there was the sort of thing we were asking about. But is it pretty clear that the person who posted this posted it sincerely because they had this information and misunderstood or believed it or whatever it was, that they were sincere in this post and not making a point as an activist that this is what should happen or being sarcastic or making a joke?
Yeah, it definitely was sincere, and it was definitely the person who made this status update was very much against it. And, you know, the rest of the status is a bunch of kind of hypotheticals for the other residents to consider, like, you know, imagine this crime is happening to you and, you know, there's no police around to come help you. Just kind of laying out a bunch of hypotheticals of, you know, bad things that could happen if we didn't have a local police department. But it, you know, whether, you know, there's no way to know whether the person was knowingly spreading information that wasn't totally accurate, but it was definitely put out in a sincere way. Yeah. And the other thing that should be noted is the person who made the status also connected it to the idea of the police getting disbanded. He connected it to the current Black Lives Matter protests that have been going on throughout the country and throughout the world, and saying that this is being done kind of in step with that philosophy. But as you know, just mentioned, this has been a conversation that's been going on in the borough for years now.
Right. So, well, I was absolutely about to make that connection too, because the last time we heard about misinformation in Honesdale, it was in reaction to the Black Lives Matter protests and the misinformation being spread, whether it was sincere in an attempt to suppress any kind of reaction, or it was just genuine fear spreading that there's going to be busloads of Antifa descending on Honesdale, which is a rumor that spread nationally. So yeah. I was about to say, it sounds like the people are, that there's some folks anyway in Honesdale that are kind of letting their fears get the best of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you read the Facebook post, I'm not sure if it's still up or not, but it definitely was a very fear-based kind of logic that the person was using.
Following up a little bit on that other issue that I don't know if that story ever fully resolved in terms of, you know, the rumor about the busloads of Antifa in the face of the protests that were happening. But in the headlines that you gave us for the weekend, I think you made mention the fact that that Amanda DeMasi, one of the organizers of those protests, was trying to get into office in Honesdale and was not successful.
Yeah, that's right. So until recently, the vice president of the borough council, probably 3 weeks ago now, he resigned from his position. And so there was a vacancy. And yeah, four residents submitted their names to try to replace him for the remainder of his term. And yes, Amanda DeMasi, who is the chief organizer of the Black Lives Matter protests in Honesdale, was one of the I don't know if you would call them candidates because they weren't being voted on by residents. It's just for the council to vote on. But she threw her name in for consideration. And she was the only person, when I listened to the meeting, four different members or three different members of the public actually called in to pledge their support for her and ask that she be voted onto the council. And one of the other people who was running to be considered for council actually withdrew his name and put his support behind Amanda. There are a lot of people requesting that she be chosen to replace the counselor. But yeah, she was unsuccessful in getting on the council.
Okay. In our last couple minutes here, let's look at the issue of schools reopening. What has Governor Wolf said about Pennsylvania schools?
So Governor Wolf, he hasn't laid out a super binding or super definite plan yet, but he has expressed publicly that Pennsylvania schools are most likely going to reopen this fall, and it's going to be a mix of online and in-person classes. And he said kind of in terms of determining what that balance of online learning and in-person learning is, that's going to kind of be up to the individual, each individual district throughout the Commonwealth to decide. We do know that the guidelines from the Department of Education are going to require students to wear masks while they're in the buildings and while they're in, when the staff is coming into the buildings. But we're just kind of waiting to see what each individual district is going to lay out as its plan for reopening this fall.
And speaking of, what do we know about Wayne Highlands? Superintendent put out a letter?
Yep. So Mr. Frigoletto, the superintendent at Wayne Highlands, just kind of sent out a preliminary letter, not with any information yet about what, you know, this fall is going to look like. But he said that parents can expect to have a plan to look at in early August. And then, you know, they're going to send out this plan and then hear back from parents about any concerns they have, any suggestions that they have. The school board is currently kind of drafting that plan as we speak right now. And then early August, we should see what that plan is going to look like.
Okay. And that's same thing on the New York side of the river, but at the state level, we're going to know a lot more come the first week of August. Owen, in our final minute, what can you tell us about tomorrow's edition of the River Reporter?
So tomorrow, our front page story is about a potential tax increase in Sullivan County. I'm not sure if this is anything you've talked to your listeners about, but it is also dealing with this Sullivan County, you know, another one of their attempts to kind of come back in the face of this financial hardship. So one of the potential things that could happen is this tax increase on electricity. And it would deal with power and heating for residents. Mm. It's a tax that already applies to some businesses in Sullivan County, but this updated tax would also apply to the residents. And then another piece of Sullivan County news that tomorrow's edition is dealing with is a human rights law that has been drafted and now has received some new changes to that. So our reporter kind of gets into what the changes to a human rights law in Sullivan County is going to look like.
Well, Owen, thank you so much for joining us. Owen Walsh of the River Reporter, and we'll check in with you again next week.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Thane Peterson, host of WJFF's Living Jazz Show. I've been asked to talk to you about how WJFF is an essential resource in our lives. I think most listeners know that. However, surveys show that only a tiny fraction of the people who listen to public radio give to public radio. Don't be one of those. Please consider a contribution to our Summer Quiet Pledge Drive at wjffradio.org. You'll feel good about it if you do. I promise.
All right, get ready to feel good and make your contribution if you can at wjffradio.org.